Prologue. Connor Monaghan grinned as he pumped Mr. Gascoigne's plump hand in a firm handshake.
It's gonna be awesome, he said,
sounding like a teenager. Although he'd just turned 24, he still looked like a teen with big blue eyes that gave him a babyish look. He tried to grow a beard, but it had come in very wispy, which had annoyed him. Now that he had a thick silver wedding band on his finger, he looked a little less like a kid playing at work, and more like the CEO of Monaghan Developments, which he was. To counteract the soft, boyish look, he'd had to become an absolute wolf in the boardroom. The smile that spread across his face as he shook Mr. Gascoigne's hand was the first one he'd broken since he walked into the room. Although the deal wasn't finalized on paper as yet, it was as good as done. He'd never had a deal unravel on him because he followed up aggressively and got the signed contract in his hands before anyone could change their mind. As soon as I get back to Red Cedar Lodge and Spa, he thought, I'm calling Gascoigne's assistant and having a copy of the contract sent to me immediately. He hadn't brought his own assistant, Julita Westcroft, to the meeting for quite a ridiculous reason. As he walked out of the office, he laughed at himself. Why had he been so paranoid? Of course she hadn't been sent by some mysterious people who he thought wanted to do away with him. Such thoughts were completely ridiculous, and he realized he needed to get them out of his mind. After all, who in the world would want to kill him? That was something that worried him a lot lately, and the reason why he'd been so careful in hiring an assistant in the first place. At first, his wife Charlotte had been the one who organized his calendar, sent out his letters, and passed on his very unusual demands to various hotels, business partners, and conference organizers. But now she was far too pregnant, so pregnant, in fact, that she'd tried to convince him to postpone this meeting until after the baby made its dramatic entrance into the world, which would be any day now. But Connor just couldn't postpone this meeting to close the deal. It had been the hardest win of his life, from smear campaigns to threats on his life to unfavorable terms in the contract. They'd tried it all. They'd even attempted to lowball him. They engaged in all those hostile acts just because they can't stand the thought of a 24-year-old having control over such a luxury hotel complex, he'd said to both Charlotte and Julita. And it was probably true. Property developers, real estate investors, and hotel proprietors had nothing but respect for Connor, for how quickly he'd climbed his way to the top. However, they also despised how much they were forced to respect him. They were in their 50s and 60s. A 40-year-old seemed young in that business. To them, it looked like Connor just came from the womb, with far too much money and far too much luck. Others whispered about how he'd screwed over Joe Treadwell, his mentor. Still, others said it was impossible to screw over Joe Treadwell, so it couldn't be true. If anyone asked Connor, he said, "It's a legal matter. I can't discuss it." And it was, because Joe was preparing to sue Connor for every last cent he had. Anyhow, none of that mattered anymore because he'd struck the deal. Connor walked out into the parking lot and backed up and up and up again until he could survey the front of the entire main hotel building. "Mine," he whispered to himself. "All mine." Well, technically it was partly his and partly the bank's, and the rest belonged to his investors. But it was as good as his, because it was under his control. He breathed in and out with pure, unadulterated happiness at the way things had gone. He felt as if he was in a state of absolute bliss. Everything looked brighter as he hopped into his black Bentley Bentayga SUV. The leather felt even smoother than usual. He grinned at himself in the mirror before putting on his sunglasses. "Connor," he smirked to himself, "you are the man." Then he took off.